I have a message for you this morning, but it's not a Mother's Day message. I ask for your forgiveness. We are walking through the God story, and the reality is that even though it's not technically a Mother's Day message, I think there's so much in the message that relates to all of us, including mothers, including some of the struggles that mothers would have. As we're walking through the God story, what we're going to be talking about today is this experience that Jesus has that's very similar to experiences that all of us have, including mothers. There are times in our lives where we have mountaintop experiences, and there are times in our lives where we have valley experiences or wilderness experiences. Can you relate to that, mothers? When you're raising your kids, there are moments when it's amazing, and you're so incredibly proud, and you have that feeling as you're raising your kids. It's a bit of a mountaintop experience where you're like, this is why I do what I do. And there are moments when you are raising your kids where it doesn't quite feel that way, does it? It's a bit of a valley experience. It's experience of going through the wilderness. Last week when we were talking about the beginning of Jesus' ministry, we were talking about an experience that Jesus had that was really a mountaintop experience. It was an experience that he had when he entered into ministry and he walked out to the Jordan River and John the Baptist was baptizing people and Jesus gets baptized and there's a voice from heaven, his heavenly Father, that looks down upon him and says, "This is my son. I'm so pleased with him. He brings me great joy." And the Spirit of God comes down on him in the form of a dove, and he's empowered by the Spirit. That is a mountaintop experience. That is an experience that no matter the tough things that Jesus went through in his life, he would be able to look back at that and remember that mountaintop experience. But do you know what? Jesus went straight from a mountaintop experience where his heavenly Father speaks into his life and speaks into his identity, which is really, really important. And by the power of God, he walks into the desert, he walks into the wilderness, he walks into a valley experience. He goes straight from the mountain into the valley. And the interesting thing about this story is that when you read the biographies of Jesus, and there's four of them in the Bible, most of the things that Jesus said and did, there were eyewitnesses and his disciples were around and they were writing what they saw and they heard and the things that Jesus did. There was eyewitnesses. This is probably the one story that you will find in the biographies of Jesus that there are no eyewitnesses of what Jesus did and said and experienced. So if you can imagine, the reason why it's in our Gospels or in our Bible is because Jesus had to communicate this to his disciples. He had to tell them, this is what I experienced. This is what happened. And that's why they are in our Bible today. And so I'm going to start in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 2. It says this, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted," in other words, is tested there by the devil. "For 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and became very hungry." I love that, like, really obvious statement that Matthew writes there. And he was very hungry. Of course he was. Who wouldn't be hungry after 40 days and 40 nights of not eating anything? But we need to know it, right? Because it's easy to look at the life of Jesus and recognize that this is God in the flesh. But at the same time, he's very human. Jesus is experiencing something, and through this experience, something very human, something that you and I would experience, he's able to relate to us. But you know what you want to notice about this is that Jesus was led by the Spirit into this wilderness experience. It was God who brought him into this. Do you know that sometimes that God can lead you into the valley? He doesn't just lead us into the mountaintop experiences, but God can literally lead you into a wilderness experience. And that is what is happening here. He's leading Jesus into a test. The idea of test, out of this Greek word, it's this idea of proving the truth about something. Proving the truth through an ordeal that's going to display somebody's character. When we think of tests, we just think potentially of being at school and having that Scantron where you write AC/DC because you're not sure what else to write. But this is a test that Jesus is going through that's going to prove who he is, his character. This word test comes from this idea of blacksmithing or metalworking, where someone is working through metals and they're testing the metals and they're testing the strength of the metals. And that is what's going to happen to Jesus. A test can provide someone with an opportunity to grow or to reveal their true character, which is why the Holy Spirit, which is why God is bringing Jesus into this test, because it's going to be an opportunity for Jesus to grow, to reveal his true character. But there's somebody else that's going to be out there in the wilderness with Jesus who's going to put him through that test. And he has something completely opposite in store for Jesus. He wants Jesus to fail. And that's why the devil is going to put Jesus through the test. And you know what? When you go through a test in life, when you go through a challenge in life, there are those two opposite extremes that are happening. Your Heavenly Father is there. He is walking that with you. And the Holy Spirit might be drawing you into that wilderness experience potentially. And that's because he doesn't want you to fail, but he wants you to learn something. He wants you to reveal something out of your character. He wants to strengthen you. But there's something else happening there that is totally opposite, and that is the enemy of your soul, the devil. And he's hoping that you are going to fail. Sometimes God leads us into these wilderness experiences, and he allows us to be tested just like Jesus. Jesus went through this experience of 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. And if you are aware of the Bible, and Matthew originally is writing to Jewish people, that is his audience. The four biographies of Jesus, they each have a slightly different audience they're writing to. Matthew is Jewish. He's writing to a Jewish audience, and he wants his Jewish audience to recognize that what Jesus is going through is actually mirroring what the Israelites went through as they came out of slavery in the Exodus story. The people of Israel were in slavery. They came out of slavery. Moses leads them out of slavery through water, through the parting of the Red Sea. Okay? Jesus also went through water in his baptism. But the people of Israel didn't immediately go into the promised land. The people of Israel went directly into where? The wilderness. And the people of Israel were in the wilderness for not 40 days, but 40 years. And it was there through those 40 years that over and over and over again, they went through the testing. Time and time and time again. The difference with Israel, as what we're going to see with Jesus, is that most of the time when Israel was going through that testing, they failed. They failed. Jesus is going into the wilderness just like Israel did. And the question is, will he pass the test that his forebears couldn't pass? So let's look at three tests that Jesus went through. Matthew 4, starting in verse 3, it says this. During that time, the devil came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread." Let me just pause for a second there. Notice the very first thing that the devil does is he questions his identity. Jesus just came from an experience of being baptized in water where his identity was confirmed by God saying, this is my son. He's confirming his identity. He walks out of that experience. He goes into the desert. And the very first thing that's asked of him by the devil is, if you are the son of God. You know, you can come out of this experience today. When we worship here, and we're having this experience, this is a mountaintop experience where we sing songs about our identity as children of God. And that is like your heavenly Father saying, man, this is who you are. And I love you, and I'm proud of you, and I'm pleased with you. And in like 20 minutes, you're going to walk out these doors, and you're going to go out into the real world. And you're going to experience things that are incredibly difficult. And the very first thing the enemy is there to do is to question your identity. Who you truly are. What you've truly experienced. What God has truly spoken into your life. If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. But Jesus told him, no. The scriptures say people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. This test or temptation for Jesus is about choice. It's about choice. How and when you will obtain the thing that you want or need. If you know the story of Adam and Eve at the very beginning of the Bible, they are given a choice. They're given this choice of knowing good and evil. And the devil is there. You need to take the knowledge of good and evil for yourself right now on your own terms, Adam and Eve. And God is saying there, no, trust me. I'm going to give you what you need. I will tell you what is right and wrong on my terms and in my time. Can you trust me? Now, Adam and Eve don't trust God. They take it on their own terms. In this situation, Jesus comes out of an experience where he is hungry. He hasn't been eating. And he needs bread. There's nothing wrong with bread. He needs bread. And the enemy is there and says, Jesus, why don't you make it happen on your terms in your way? The devil is saying, if you are the Son of God, you should prove that you are, and you should be able to have all the food that you want. Jesus, if you are the Son of God, why is it that your heavenly Father would allow you to go through this? Why would he allow you to go through this? Why don't you take it for yourself? The devil is questioning God's goodness. And this quote that Jesus says, where he says, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God, it comes from the book of Deuteronomy. Now, Jesus is going to go through three tests, and each time he's tested, he quotes from the book of Deuteronomy. Now, if you're wondering what the book of Deuteronomy is, the book of Deuteronomy was written by Moses as they had come through the wilderness for 40 years, and they're right on the verge of entering into the promised land. And he's reminding them of everything they've experienced out in the wilderness. And this is where it comes from. Let me show you the context. Because anytime someone quotes scripture in scripture, oftentimes they quote a really tiny bit, but there's a context to why they're quoting it. And if you're looking at the scripture, you're going, that's kind of a weird quote. Why is he quoting that? This is why. Deuteronomy 8. It says, be careful to obey all the commands I'm giving you today. Then you will live and multiply, and you will enter and occupy the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness for these 40 years, humbling you and testing you to prove your character. Notice the word test. Find out whether or not you'd obey his commands. Yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. He did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone. Rather, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. God led the people of Israel through the wilderness, and he was teaching them, you're not going to get your bread all on your own. I'm going to give it to you. Manna came down from heaven every morning. Remember that story? And they went out and they collected it. And it was an experience that they had to show them that everything they needed would be provided by who? By God. Jesus is going through this experience, and the devil is saying, you need to make it happen on your own. Jesus is quoting this scripture, and he's saying, no, I'm going to rely on my Heavenly Father. When it's time for me to have bread, he's going to give it to me. Even though he's led me out in the wilderness, even though he's allowed me to go hungry, I'm going to trust in him. I'm going to depend on him. God was putting Israel to the test in Deuteronomy chapter 8. And now Jesus is going through that. Israel never passed the test, but Jesus is. Let me take you to test number 2, okay? It starts in verse 5. It says, then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, the highest point of the temple, and said, if you are the Son of God, notice the question of identity again. If you are the Son of God, jump off, Jesus. For the scriptures say he will order his angels to protect you, and they will hold you up with their hands, and you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. He's quoting Psalm 93, which was read by Nikki earlier today. Jesus responded, the scriptures also say you must not test the Lord your God. Jump off. Jump off, Jesus. Create a situation in which the Father will be obligated to save your life. Jesus, force the hand of God. Jump off and see if he really cares about you. Jump off to see if he will really save you. You're saying that God is so good and your Father's going to take care of you. If that is so, jump off and prove it. Let's see if he can actually do it. Let's see if he's actually faithful. Let's see if he'll actually save you. Test your Father's commitment to you. The crazy thing about this is that Satan is actually quoting scripture here. And he's twisting it. At a cursory glance, it seems like the devil is actually getting to the heart of Psalm 93. Like he's quoting scripture in the right way. But this is what the devil does, is he can take the words of God and he twists it. He changes it just a little bit so that what was true becomes false. Let me show you the context of what he's saying. In Psalm 91, verse 9, it says, if you say Yahweh or God is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Look at verse 13. This is really interesting. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. How is the devil portrayed in the first verses of Genesis? A serpent. He's twisting this. This scripture is about God's care for the Messiah, God's care for his children, and his victory over Satan. But Satan is trying to use this scripture as a way to coerce or manipulate God. If you are using scripture to coerce or manipulate God, you're using it in the wrong way. And you know what? Christians can do this all the time, where we take scripture out of its context. It's really easy to twist scripture, make it into what we want it to be, Or even use it as a way to like try to manipulate God. God, if you really care about me, I need you to do this. This is in the Bible. God, you need to fulfill that for me now. You need to do what I want you to do. We can use scripture for our own desires, or we can try to understand what it was originally meant to say. And trust in God. Jesus quotes from Deuteronomy 6:16. Once again, it says, "You must not test the Lord your God as you did when you complained at Massa." That's interesting. Massa, what is that place? This is the background to this. So the Israelites, they head into the desert, they head into the wilderness, and they have lots of people, and they have flocks, and they have goats, and they're out in the wilderness, and they're like, how are we going to eat? Where is our water going to come from? They're questioning all these things. And in Exodus 15 and 16, right at the beginning of this journey, God shows himself to them by providing bread, manna, and water. He provides both for them. He says, listen, I have you. Trust me. And then they continue on their journey, and they show up this place called Massa. And they totally forget everything that God had done previously. And now, once again, they don't have water. And what do? They start complaining. Like, if God really cared about us, if we're really supposed to be here, there'd be water. We need to just go back to Egypt. And they start whining and complaining. And God provides water for them once again. He provides water for them once again. We can walk into life where we're always questioning the goodness of God, and we're always wanting God to act on our terms and in our way, and to use our relationship with God to coerce him to do the things that we want to do. And Jesus very, very clearly says, I'm not doing that. I'm not testing God in that way. I'm going to trust him. Let's look at test number three. This is the last test. Next, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. I will give it all to you, he said, if you'll kneel down and worship me. Get out of here, Satan, Jesus told him, for the scriptures say you must worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil went away and the angels came and took care of Jesus. Notice how this third test, the devil stops questioning his identity. It's like Jesus has gone through two tests that are about his identity and trusting in God, and it didn't work. So the devil comes at him from a completely different angle. It's not about identity and trust anymore. It's about allegiance and power. Where does Jesus' allegiance lie, and how is he going to gain the power? See, in the Old Testament, as the people of Israel were preparing for the Messiah to come, a lot of the messianic prophecies talked about the universal dominion over the nations of the Messiah. The Messiah is going to come, and he's going to have a universal dominion over the world. And Satan knows this. And he shows up to Jesus and he says, listen, Jesus, I'm going to give you an easier route. I'm going to give you an easier route. I know what you're here for. If you just bow down and worship me and give your allegiance to me, I'll give it all to you. It's that simple. This path that God is sending you down is way too hard. If he really cared about you, why would he allow you to go down such a difficult path? Let me make it easier for you. Let me read to you the context of Jesus' quote about worshiping the Lord and serving him only. It's from Deuteronomy 6, and 11, it says, when you've eaten your fill in this land, be careful not to forget the Lord who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt. You must fear the Lord your God and serve him. When you take an oath, you must use only his name. You must not worship any of the gods of the neighboring nations. There's a temptation for Jesus to go the easier route. And he says, get out of here, Satan. I'm not going down that easier route. I'm actually walking down a difficult path that's going to lead me to the cross. Can you remember one other time in the biographies of Jesus where Jesus says something similar like, get away from me, Satan? Yeah, he's having a conversation with one of his disciples. And he's just had a conversation with his disciples about basically telling them, I'm going to the cross and I'm dying. And Peter, like this top apostle, is like, Jesus, never. Like, don't talk like that, Jesus. That's a horrible way to talk. I don't ever want to hear that come out of your mouth again, Jesus. We don't ever want to see that. And Jesus recognizes that influence that's coming out of Peter actually isn't Peter. That is the voice that he heard several years prior. And he says, get behind me, Satan. It's not because that Peter is Satan. Is he recognizes the influence that is there, that Satan is going, you don't need to do that. You don't need to go to the cross. You don't need to sacrifice your life. There's an easier way. There's an easier way. You know, as a mother, there's always an easier way. But as a mom, when you walk through the journey of raising your kids, you know that you're going to have to sacrifice yourself for them. Like, there's an aspect with motherhood that is just so reflects the heart of God and so reflects the heart of Jesus and so reflects his sacrifice for us on the cross. Because the heart of a mother is to say, no matter how hard the journey is, no matter how difficult the road is, no matter how much I need to sacrifice myself for my children, I will do it. And in that, we recognize what Jesus is doing here. Here in the desert, Jesus is wrestling with his vocation to suffer and die. And in that, he has this supreme trust in God saying, I know this road is going to be difficult, but I'm going to trust him. Satan is offering me an easier route. But the true way to life, the true way to freedom is the road of sacrifice. Jesus conquered the tests, the temptations, and Satan in that desert as he walked out the beginning of his ministry. And he's going to face it again in the Garden of Gethsemane as he faces the cross and he has to make a final decision. Am I going to walk out this path? But because Jesus was able to conquer the enemy, he was able to conquer the devil and succeed. It's what has given him the power and what will give him the power as he walks out his 3 years of ministry to set other people free who are bound by Satan. This is a crucial moment in Jesus' life where he faces the evil power of Satan and his temptations and his influence, and he conquers him by relying upon his heavenly Father, by relying upon the Word of God, by relying upon his identity. And now he's going to walk out 3 years of ministry where he's going to set other people free. It's exciting. Jesus was called to live out in his own experience the sonship that was to have characterized Israel. a relationship with God that involves dependence on Him for the provision of needs. Trust in His presence and care without the need for demonstration. An acceptance of the plan of God on God's terms. And you can look at this story and like we can celebrate what Jesus done and be like, man, I'm so thankful that Jesus did that. Jesus, you are good. And we walk out the door and we kind of miss half of it. And the half that we don't want to miss is this, is that Jesus showed us the way for what every single one of us is going to be tempted to do. This isn't just about Jesus. This is about you. This is about the temptations that come along your path every single day. These are about the tests that the enemy is going to take you through. And you know what? You go through the test not because God doesn't care. You go through the test because He does care. He actually leads you into the test. But Jesus said, I'm going to never leave you or forsake you. I'm going to put my Holy Spirit in you. And if you trust in me and you rely upon my words in the same way that I did, that Jesus did, you can pass the test too in the power of the Spirit. Will you depend on Jesus? Will you depend on God for the provision of your needs? Or are you going to do it your own way? It's like almost like a daily thing, isn't it, when you think about that? Am I relying on my own smarts, on my own abilities, on my own whatever, or am I relying upon God for Him to provide for me in His timing and in His way? We face that every single day. Can we trust in His presence and His care without Him always demonstrating it to us? Because we want that, right? There's an aspect of like maturing in Christ. You know, sometimes when people come to Christ for the very first time, they experience all sorts of miracles and God's demonstration of His love and His provision for them. And if you've been a Christian for a long time, you're like, whoa, what's going on in that person's life? Why isn't it happening to me? They're seeing their prayers answered in a spectacular way right from the beginning. And part of that's because God is solidifying what He's doing in their heart, and He's placing His identity on them. He's saying, I'm providing for you. I'm caring for you. You can trust in me. And you walk out your journey. You've been following Jesus for many, 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 many years. And you maybe don't see that as much anymore. And God is saying, can you still trust in me to provide for you without me needing to always demonstrate it to you? Without you trying to force my hand by saying, God, if you really care, if you really love, would you do this? Would you do that? Whatever. And God's saying, I'm going to provide for you. It might not look how you think it should look, but trust me. Trust me. And can we accept the plan of God for our lives on His terms, not on ours? Sometimes God throws us curveballs, right? If you want to use a baseball term. The journey looks different than what we're expecting. And you know what? Sometimes it's easier to go the easy way. Satan is always wanting to tempt you to go do it easier. I have an easier way for you. I have an easier way in your relationships, your marriages, your finances. Satan's always saying, I have an easier way. But the problem is that easier way leads to death. And God is standing there in front of us and He's saying, man, I'm going to lead you down a path, and trust me, it might be really hard, but I can promise you in the midst of that really difficult path, I'm going to lead you to life. I'm going to lead you to life. Trust me. Trust me. Why don't you stand with me as we close? Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for everybody here today. God, I thank you, dear Jesus, for the word of God. And I thank you, Lord, that you communicated this story to your disciples to share with us. Because it's not just a story about you, it's a story about us. Your story is our story. And God, I thank you that you defeated Satan, that you were able to resist temptation through the power of the Spirit. And Lord, I pray, oh God, that we would do that as well. God, you see each and every single person here today, and you see all the temptations that we go through. The alleyways that Satan wants to bring us down because it's easier. Because it's easier. God, I pray that we would trust you. We trust you when it's hard. Lord, that we trust you when it doesn't make any sense to us. We trust you when it doesn't seem like there's a demonstration of your care for us. When it all seems that way, I pray, oh God, that we would know better. God, we'd know your word in our heart just like Jesus did. And we'd be able to stand upon your promises, we'd be able to stand upon your word, and we'd stand upon your character of who you are. Lord, burn that within our hearts today, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.